Good morning. Today's service might be, well, I'm sure it wasn't quite this comfortable, but might be a little bit more like some of the early church services were, where they met in a home around a table. Probably not this big of a table, and probably not with this kind of chairs, but so might be a little bit more like that instead of sitting in a more of a formal church setting. Our bulletin today has all the hymn verses and everything in it, so you should be able to follow along in the with the bulletin and have everything. I'm trying to get away from copyright issues on everything we do, so I just figured I'd print some of these out and use things in public domain where I can. So with that, we open our worship today singing the hymn, Beautiful Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence to seek your mercy, to hear your word, and to offer up our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Amen. We read Psalm 130 together in unison. Out of the depths have I cried to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Let us therefore confess our sins unto the Lord our God, and look to him for mercy and forgiveness, for the sake of the plenteous redemption accomplished by Christ Jesus, who has redeemed us from all our iniquities. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name and stead of Jesus Christ our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue by singing, Lord, open thou my heart to hear. Scripture reading today and for our meditation is recorded in St. John's Gospel in chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing, or was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness concerning him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray your Holy Spirit's blessing upon the speaking and the hearing of your word this day, that we might be strengthened and built up in our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Over the past several weeks, we have heard the account of Jesus' birth, of how Jesus came into this world as a man in order to redeem us. The Gospel of Matthew focuses on his lineage and then his birth, and that the wise men came to honor and glorify him, and how the wise men recognized him as not just another human child, but as the very Son of God. They presented him with gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and glorified him. They fell on their faces before him. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, as we read in the Gospel of Luke, we see that Mary and Joseph traveled there. While they're there, he's born and laid in a manger, and an angel came and revealed to shepherds that this child was not, again, just a human child, but he was the very Son of God. He was the Lord himself who came into this world to save all people. And they shared that message with others. Well, in the Gospel of John, we have the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ viewed in a different way. The Gospel of John also focuses on who Jesus is, but it uses the scriptures and takes us back to understand who it is that came into this world and what it was that happened when the Christ child was conceived and born of the Virgin Mary. So the Gospel of John begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And so we see that in the beginning, which takes us back to Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. In the Greek, it's a little bit more precise as far as tenses. The imperfect tense here means that in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Word already was. The Word was already with God. The Word was God, indicating that Jesus, the Word, was not created, did not have a beginning in time somewhere, but that the Word always was, because when the beginning of time began, he already was. He was already there. He was God. He was with God in the creation. And so it says, the same was in the beginning with God. It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the light, life was the light of men. And so when you look at the account in Genesis, which is, you know, really foundational for our faith, if people do not believe the literal account of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, they really are rejecting their need for a Savior, especially if they also reject Genesis 3, you know, then God is not the creator. If it happened by chance, we're not accountable to God. He's not going to be our judge, so why do we need a Savior? And who is God to give us commandments if he is not the one who created the heavens and the earth? But when it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Gospel of John teaches us how we should understand this. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word for Hebrew word for created is bara, which is a Hebrew word which means that he made it out of nothing. So in other words, it's made solely by God saying the words and it came into being. It's not like the building blocks were already there and somehow God caused something to happen to bring about life and the creation of our universe as we know it. But in the beginning, when there was only God, he said the word and it came into being. And we also need to understand that when it says in the beginning, God, this is not speaking solely of God the Father, because we see the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. The Gospel of John tells us that all things were created by Jesus, the eternal Son of God. And so we can read this and realize that whenever God said, let there be, it was Jesus who said, let there be. And when God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, we see there the Trinity, that the Trinity is sharing, you know, their will, their desire, their purpose with each other, and let us make man. And God created man in his own image, after his own likeness, male and female, he created them. In Genesis 2, verse 7, when it says that the Lord God, which is literally, you know, Lord is all capital letters, indicating it's the Hebrew name for God, the YHWH, or often it's Yahweh or Jehovah. So when Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, we need to understand this in the sense of St. John's Gospel, that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so when God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living being or a living soul, God gave him life, physical life, but also spiritual life. And that Adam was created in the image of God. He loved God. He trusted in God. He sought to live and honor God in all that he did. And of course, woman was created from the rib of Adam as Adam's helpmeet, and so she too was in the image of God. And Jesus was active in the creation of both Adam and Eve. So many passages we could look at. In Psalm 33, verse 6, it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." And so simply by saying the word, God created all things. And what about the teaching that Jesus is the creator of all things? You look in St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, it says of Jesus that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Or Hebrews chapter 1, where it says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners or different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." And so who is this child who was born in Bethlehem? Who is the one who came into this world, a true man? It is the eternal word. And that word, logos in the Greek, is something that I think probably was much better understood in the days when the scriptures were written than it is today. Even the Greeks had an idea of logos as being referring to, it might have been a little bit more generic, but it referred to the almighty power which spoke and created all things, which caused all things to come into being. And of course, for the Jews, the word logos was very important and understood because, you know, God said, "Let there be," and there was. And so there is this emphasis on the word and the power of God's word. And here, Jesus is called the word. And of course, the most important aspect of this is we see that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the word, you know, the one who already was in the beginning, the one who is God, the one who was there with God, the one who created all things, took on human flesh and blood and became man. I just find this entirely amazing. You know, it speaks about the light shining in the darkness comprehended it not. That word for comprehended means to grasp or to take hold of. It means that, you know, the light, God's plan of salvation, his truth shined into this world, but man in his sinful state did not grasp it, nor did man grasp who Jesus really is and was. Tells us that there was a man sent from God whose name was John, talking about John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so Jesus is the true light, which shines upon everyone in the world, showing his glory, showing who he is. And yet, for the most part, people do not believe. It says he was in the world, The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And I know there are TV shows and movies and things which focus on, you know, somebody coming into a company and kind of being treated like dirt because they don't recognize him as the owner of the company, maybe even being kicked out until they find out, hey, this is the owner of the company. Well, that's certainly what happened with our Lord Jesus. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He came into this world as a man born of the Virgin Mary. He humbled himself, not making full use of his divine power and glory, which he has as the eternal Son of God. And people did not recognize him, did not grasp that he was their Messiah and Savior, that he was Jehovah God himself in human flesh. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, which is a sad thing, that he came to his own people, to those who were best prepared to recognize him because they had the Old Testament scriptures, which pointed ahead to Christ, which taught them that he is the eternal Son of God. And yet, they received him not. Today, the same thing is true. You know, he's proclaimed in the churches. The churches have the scriptures which teach of him. And yet many of the church members can go to church all their life and be good, faithful church members to the end and not even recognize who Jesus is and what he did for them. They receive him not. But it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And so he came to his own received him not. But for those who did receive him, those who did trust in him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, he gave to them the right, the power to become sons of God. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3 that ye are all the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are God's children through faith in him. But notice that, how is it that they become believers and trust in Jesus and become sons of God? You know, it's those who believe on his name, which were born, not of blood. So you don't become a Christian because your parents were Christian. Their teaching you God's word certainly may relate to you becoming a Christian. But you aren't automatically a Christian because your parents are a Christian or you come from a line of Christians. Nor of the will of the flesh. In other words, as we are by nature since the fall of Adam into sin, we would not choose to believe in and trust in Jesus. And so, really, all the decision theology that's out there today, you know, you have to decide to follow Jesus and, you know, make your commitment to Jesus and then you will become a Christian. Well, the truth is that none of us would choose to believe on the Lord Jesus. Jesus said a few things about this in John chapter 6 after the feeding of the 5,000. He said in verse 44 that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And in verse 63 he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And so it's through the word of God and through the gracious working of the Holy Spirit that we are brought to faith in Christ, as it says here, you know, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And Jesus brought that out to Nicodemus as well. He says, unless you are born again, born from above, You can't even see the kingdom of God. You need to be born again of water and the Spirit in order to believe and trust in Jesus and to be a child of God. And of course, those words, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's what happened when Mary conceived by the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit, when she gave birth to Jesus and laid him in the manger in Bethlehem. The Word, the eternal Word, the eternal God, who created all things, became one of us in order to redeem us. And John and the disciples of Jesus could say, "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." They beheld his glory on numerous occasions. In his miracles, they saw his glory. You know, who else can change water into wine? Who else can open the eyes of the blind or the ears of the deaf or cast out demons or even raise the dead? They also saw his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus in glory. And so they beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He is full of grace and truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way of salvation. He is the truth that God shines into this world to show us how we sinners can be saved. And of course, it is certainly grace. It is undeserved by us, but it is of God's grace and mercy toward us in Jesus. So he is full of grace and truth. It says that John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And of course, if you think about Jesus' birth and John's birth, Jesus was born about 3 months after John. So John wasn't saying that Jesus was born before me. You know, they were actually born pretty close to the same time, only like 3 months apart, with Jesus being younger. However, Jesus was before John because Jesus is the eternal God who came into this world and took on human flesh and blood. And of course, he is preferred before him because he is God himself. "Of this fullness have all we received in grace for grace." You think about that passage. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, you've received great blessing through Jesus because he's the one who created you and gave you life. He's the one who holds your breath in his hands. He's the one who blesses you with all good things. None of them are deserved by us. And so it is literally grace upon grace that he does these things, he shows these things to us. So we've all received grace for grace. If we had received what we deserved, it would have been him coming in judgment to condemn us all because we've all sinned and come short. And so the very fact that God has let this world go on for 4,000 years up until the birth of Christ, that it still goes on today, is all by God's grace in his Son, Jesus Christ. And as believers, we recognize that grace. But the unbeliever also partakes of that grace because God still gives him time to repent and still blesses him and desires his salvation. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And so Moses was the mediator of the old covenant. The law was given through Moses. God's grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law pointed us ahead to this grace and truth. All the sacrifices that were commanded in the law pointed ahead to that perfect sacrifice of Jesus. And so, as it says here, grace and truth, God's undeserved love, his truth, the true way of salvation, came to us by Jesus Christ. "No man has seen God at any time," and you can read of that in the Old Testament in Exodus 33 and elsewhere. "The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." I think this is the construction of this is kind of interesting, and it reflects the Greek. No man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. So at the same time Jesus is born into this world a man, he is in the bosom of the Father. We'll see this later as we go through the Gospel of John. He hath declared him. In other words, Jesus revealed to us who God the Father is. And I know you've all probably seen the expression, you know, if you want to know God, know Jesus. And that's exactly right, because if you want to know who God is, the only way for us to know God is to know his Son, Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the image, perfect image of God the Father. His will is perfectly conformed to the will of God the Father. They are in full communion and agreement. So if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus, because Jesus is God in the flesh. And it's also true that if you know, you can use that as know God, to know God, know Jesus, the K-N-O-W, but also know Jesus, N-O, Jesus, know God. If you don't trust in Jesus, you don't trust in God. You don't worship him, you don't glorify him, you don't know him. You're not in fellowship with him. The only way to the Father is through faith in Jesus Christ. And so what happened on that first Christmas? The eternal God who created the heavens and the earth, who created us, who gave us life, who holds all things in his hands, who sustains everything. Because if he were to withdraw his word, everything would fail. This God became a true man, born into this world by the mighty working of the Holy Spirit, conceived of the Virgin Mary, and born into this world as that babe born in Bethlehem. And of course, all this has a purpose. This is God's eternal plan, which existed in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, to redeem you and me, to bring us to see our sins and to know that in Jesus there is forgiveness, to trust in him by the gracious working of the Holy Spirit, to become more and more like him, and finally to be raised up on the last day and changed into his perfect image, to live forever with the Lord and bring him glory for all that he's done for us. God grant that we see the beauty of God's mighty working and of his gracious plan toward us in sending his only begotten Son into the world, the true man, to redeem us. Amen. We continue our worship by taking up our offering. I can just pass this around if you would. Give it to Lee down there and he'll bring it up here. Shows that when you take a Lutheran out of the normal setting, we don't know what to do. And I suppose I'll ask you to stand up. I really don't know what to do here either, but I'll ask you to stand up for our prayers. Merciful Father, for the sake of the shed blood of your Son, Christ Jesus, forgive us for failing to walk by faith in the promises of your word. Move us to read and study our Bibles regularly and to come before you with our petitions and praises. Keep us from being overcome by our sinful inclinations, and preserve us in the true and saving faith unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Christ Jesus, eternal Son of God and our Savior, you gave your life for ours when you died on the cross and made atonement for our sins. Bless the work of our pastor and congregation, and of faithful pastors, missionaries, and congregations everywhere, so that your life-giving word might be proclaimed among us and among the peoples of the world, and those who hear might repent of their sins and look to you and your cross for pardon and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Holy Spirit, do not forsake us because of our weakness and disobedience to your word. Be patient with us and move us to continually repent of our sins and look in faith to our Savior for mercy. Teach us from your word, strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O loving and merciful God, our nation and people are living in darkness and under your wrath and judgment. Open the eyes and ears of our people and rulers that they might see and hear the truth of your word, repent of their evil deeds, and fall down at the feet of Jesus, pleading for pardon and forgiveness, and then seeking to walk in your ways, that your judgment may be turned away and your eternal wrath against us be averted. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O healer and preserver of our bodies and souls, as you have promised, we ask you to provide for all our needs and to preserve us from all harm and danger and all evil. We lift up to you those among us who are afflicted. We remember today, especially Linda, Joyce, Carl, Harley, Donna, and all others we name in our hearts. Have mercy upon us, grant healing to the sick, comfort to the oppressed, and strength for all to endure the troubles and afflictions of this life, in the hope of everlasting glory, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. We join also in the prayer which our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. You may be seated. We'll sing according to thy gracious word.
Thank you.
I ask you to please stand for the reading of the words of institution. I read from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I have received from the Lord that which also I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for all your sins. The Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Wolfie, the Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. O Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. We close by singing Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Thank you. Again, and welcome to all of you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his richest blessing to you. And I guess we will go ahead and continue with our meeting. I got to get one piece of paper from next door. And
I'm going to grab my
notebook. Let me turn this off.